Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Alive. sing. Worthy is the mighty King.
Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy of our praise. Worthy is the one who has overcome the grave. Let the people dance. Let the people sing.
And the throne is occupied. He is risen.
Amen.
Let's praise the Lord one more time. We thank you for being here. Goodness. Amen. Be seated if you will. It's an honor to have you on this Resurrection Sunday. We had a wonderful packed house at our 8:30 service. Looking forward to this one as well. If you're looking for a seat, and if some of you in the back can help, the front couple of rows, the expensive seats are still available. And we also have some chairs we can get out of the fellowship area if we need to, if some of our folks will be helpful with that. But thank you for being here. If you are a guest, if you're new here, or maybe you've not been in a while, it's our honor to have you here today. We would ask you to take just a moment to tear off the registration. We hope you received one of the worship guides before we ran out. If you'll take that and fill that out, we have a gift for you. Maybe you've been here, but it's been a while. We'd still love to give you the gift. Maybe you're brand new today. We'd love to give you that. We'll have those available right after the service outside these double doors and across the breezeway there, just right in our welcome area. And so I hope you'll bring that to me. And I have a special gift for all the children as well, a little gift card for you. So make sure you see me before you leave. It's an honor to have you here. If you're participating online, we're so glad that you're worshiping with us. We have a wonderful hour of worship and scripture planned. So we invite you to grab your Bible, read right along with us as the time comes. If you'll follow the prompts on the screen to let us know that you're there as well, we'd love to have a little connection with you that way as well. As we carry on in worship, every week we pray for a different church, and every week we pray for a different missionary. Our church of the week this Resurrection Sunday is the Fellowship just across town from us. We're thankful for their ministry. We're thankful for their church. We're thankful for their pastor, Alan Atkins. We want to pray for them, for God to move in power, and for all of our churches that are celebrating Resurrection Sunday today. And then our missionaries of the week are Chris and Laura Hilburn. They are from this area, but they're serving in the United Kingdom, and we're thrilled to partner with them and thrilled to celebrate the Resurrection Sunday with them. They've already had that, and most of our partners on that side of the world have already celebrated, but we will celebrate and pray for them as well. Let's pray as we continue. Father God, what a blessing it is to come and celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We know that every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection, but God, today, this special Sunday after the Passover, this special Sunday in date and time and calendar when we stop and reflect on the actual day that Jesus came back to life for us. Lord, that's our victory. Lord, that's the source of grace. Lord, that's the source of all things good. So we thank you for that. Father, we pray for the fellowship that you'd move in power there today, that you'd be with Alan as he brings a message, that lives would be transformed there through the power of your word. Father, I pray for every congregation in our county. Lord, as they are celebrating the risen Savior, as they are celebrating you, Lord, the songs may be different, the languages may be different, and even the scripture choices today, there are so many to choose from, will be different. But Father, we together stand and say, he's alive, hallelujah, amen. So Father, our desire now is that we as a congregation can lift our voice and be reminded of the age-old truth we've been singing for many years. Up from the grave he arose, with the triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his grace to claim. Father, we celebrate who Jesus is. Thank you for sending him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and you join us as we sing Up from the Grave He Arose.
The power to raise the dead. Who can say? God, your name and your name alone is to be proclaimed. You are worthy, Lord. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. And God, we are so grateful to you for sending your son, Jesus, who made a way where there seemed to be no other way, God, so that we could be made for more than this. God, as believers, Father, we believe, Lord, that we're made for more than just what's here on earth, God. We're made for eternity. So, God, as we sing this next song, may we propel doxology, a praise, an offering of worship to you. In your name we do pray. Amen. Sing this song with us, Made for More.
Sing that again.
And I wasn't made to be tempted.
us, Lord.
Born and raised back to life again, and I was made for more.
So why would I?
So why would I make a bed in my shame where the fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for.
And Lord, haste the day when thy face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as the scroll, the trump shall resound,
sight. Father, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but that points to another resurrection that's coming when all the dead in Christ will rise. Father, another resurrection when those who remain on this earth who know you will be caught up in the air. Another resurrection when Jesus will return in all his glory as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No one will beat our Savior again. No one will pluck his beard. There will be no crown of thorns placed upon his head. No one will place a spear in his side, and he will never be nailed to a cross again. So that instrument of torture that we honored on Friday, Father, today we raise in celebration and are reminded of the empty tomb. We're reminded of our Savior who made a new way and new life for us. We are resurrection people. And so, Father, we celebrate that resurrection together. May we live our lives with the Sunday victory. Teach us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, Luke chapter 23. Jesus has made you and me for more than just existing, for more than just trying to survive until heaven, for more than just business as usual, or maybe trying to help us have a good future someday. By the power of the resurrection, Jesus has made you to walk in freedom and in Holy Spirit power right now. Amen? Listen, I don't think you caught me. Jesus has made you by the power of the resurrection to walk in Holy Spirit power and freedom right now. Amen? That's what he's done for us. That's what we celebrate on this Resurrection Sunday. Now, I mentioned last week that there are 89 chapters in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospel accounts of the life of Jesus. So in the New Testament, 89 chapters that talk about Jesus' life. 28 of those chapters talk about the time from Palm Sunday last Sunday to Resurrection Sunday today. 8 days of information in the life of Jesus took 28 chapters in the Bible to tell. And believe it or not, 16 of those 28 just cover from Thursday evening, the Last Supper, to the prayer in the garden, to the faulty court and the fake court and all that took place, to Jesus being beaten, trampled on, paraded around, crucified, laid in the tomb, buried until resurrection morning and brought to life. 16 chapters cover that little 3-day period. But do you know how many chapters in the Bible talk about the day between the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection? how many chapters in the Bible talk about the Sabbath on Saturday, what we experienced yesterday, that day in between, the day of silence, the day of waiting, the day of mourning. Do you know how many chapters in the Bible talk about that? Exactly one half of one verse. That's it. The Bible says literally almost nothing about what took place on Saturday. But our lives have an understanding of what happened on Saturday, the day of mourning, the day of waiting, the day of anticipation in some ways, but also the day of just frustration and guilt and sadness and almost a feeling of giving up. And I want to read to you what that one verse says, and it's in Luke 23. So Jesus has died, and then someone comes to claim his body. Luke 23, beginning in verse 50. It says, "Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man." He was one of the religious Jewish leaders. And it says in verse 51 that he had not consented to their decision and action to crucify Jesus. And he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. That took some courage. It took some guts for this Jewish religious leader to go and say, "Can I have his body to bury him properly?" Verse 53, "Then he took it down, he wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid it in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation," meaning it was almost sunset and the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was beginning. Verse 55. "The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments." And then here's it. This is the only phrase about Saturday. "On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment." That's it. Jesus dies. He's placed in the tomb. And then all we know about the next day, it says that his followers rested according to the commandment. You see, it was the religious commandment among the Jewish people that you would honor the Sabbath from sundown Friday till sundown Saturday, and you would do no work. But my life experiences and yours would tell you this: though the apostles and the women obeyed the law and they rested their bodies for 24 hours, there is zero chance that they rested their mind or their hearts, right? Whenever you've had a tragedy, whenever you've had something horrible happen in your life, whenever something really bad has taken place, what happens? It consumes your mind. It consumes your heart and your thoughts. We replay every detail over and over. We feel the pain fresh every time we wake up in the middle of the night and we go back to that moment. We can feel the weight of anger or anxiety or grief or sadness. Now imagine being required by Jewish law to stop and to be still for 24 hours with your mind searing for what happened on that Friday in the crucifixion, with your mind replaying over and over, if you're Peter, how you denied him three times, with your mind replaying in the apostles how many dumb questions they had asked him in the last week when he knew he was going to die and they just didn't understand it yet. How many things must have hurt and been going on in their mind. That Saturday must have been filled with what ifs, what could have been, confusion, regrets. And can I say, everybody in this room, if you live long enough, is eventually going to have one of those Saturdays yourself, where life is hard and things are tough, or something's happened, or there's been a loss or a need or a blow up, and in some sort you're going to spend your day with your mind consumed with the what ifs, the if onlys, the regrets, the confusion. So their Saturday understanding had yet to experience a Sunday resurrection. But we have something in our Saturdays that the apostles did not have. We know Jesus from the other side of the resurrection. Amen? We knew what Sunday was coming. So if there's one phrase I can leave you with on this Resurrection Sunday, this is it. Don't settle for a Saturday existence in a Sunday world. You live in a Sunday world, in a world where Jesus has resurrected, in a world of new life and freedom. Don't you dare settle for a Saturday existence. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 3. Listen to Paul. "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received." What's Paul talking about? He says that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive at the time Paul was writing this, though some have fallen asleep. Verse 7, then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, Paul says, as one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10, this is the key. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God within me. Whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. So friends, if the resurrection is true, that's why we're here. If the resurrection is true, if Jesus really did get out of the grave and allows us to walk out of the grave as well, then God's grace toward you and me is not in vain either. Christ's resurrection did not come just to fix your finances. Sometimes we just want God to fix our problems. Christ's resurrection was more than just the promise of a healthy body and no sickness, though we want him to help us with that. Christ's resurrection was more than just providing good relationships and family for you and me, though we ask him for that. Christ's resurrection is more than any one thing. The resurrection is about new life. Amen? That's what his resurrection is about. So if you've never received Jesus' free gift of salvation, I want to encourage you to do so right now. It is so important that you understand on this Resurrection Sunday, it doesn't matter how many times you come to church. It doesn't matter how much money you give in the offering box. It doesn't matter how loud you sing, if you lift your hand, if you know every word. What matters is, do you know the Sunday victory of Jesus Christ? Have you experienced his resurrection in your life? Has he saved you? If you're not certain about your relationship with Jesus, let me explain it really quickly. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, Paul says this, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. A little crowd participation. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a sinner. Go ahead, tell them. Some of y'all said that with a little too much authority there. Got pretty excited. You've been waiting to tell them that a long time. All right, find somebody else to tell. And I'm just kidding. So we say that. For all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. What is God's glory? God's glory is his holy, righteous perfection. The perfect, holy, magnificent God. You can't even be in the same universe as him apart from his grace. He is holy. He is righteous. He is perfect. Do you know anyone who thinks they're perfect? Don't point if they're okay. But if you do, listen, you don't really want to be around them. But can you imagine the perfect creator of the world? We can't even enter his presence. And so the Bible says, for we all have sinned and fall short of his glorious perfection. Three chapters later, Paul says this, the wage of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Listen, here's what's going on in today's day and age, and I bet I can get an amen on this. Everybody wants a wage, but it seems like nobody wants to work. Amen? Y'all, we've all experienced that everywhere we've been and what we've done. Well, listen, this is a wage you've worked for, friends. It says the wage of sin is death. That means separation from God. So the price, what we have earned because of our sin, I don't want to offend you, but I want to speak truthfully. What you've earned, what I've earned because of our sin is separation from God for eternity, eternal death, separation from him. But the gift of God is eternal life. Now, you don't earn it. You couldn't earn it if you want to. It's a free gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life. How does it work? Romans 5:8, back up one chapter, says this. But God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. So you see, Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. He took all of your sin and placed it there on the cross with him. He dies and those things died too. 3 days later, he gloriously comes back to life on Resurrection Sunday without your sin. He's the only one to die with your sin. He's the only one to come back to life without your sin, so he's the only one who can forgive you of your sin. So we ask Jesus to forgive us. We ask him to make us new and clean, and we ask him to bring his grace into our lives. That's what salvation means. If you've never given your life to Jesus, right now, listen, you can want to know everything else in the world you need to know about the Lord, and you may think, I can't get saved, and I can't really give my life to him until I understand him more. Listen, I want to encourage you. You need to start with knowing Jesus and grow from there. It's sort of like this. The electricity in this room, the lights are on. We started in the dark, had the video of the tomb, which is awesome, and all the things, and the lights came on. It's powerful. But we had a meeting earlier this week to talk about how to do the lighting and to make this work, because we wanted to start with the understanding that he is alive and he brings light into the world through doing so because he is alive. So all that meeting, I'm glad none of the tech guys, I'm glad Don didn't say, okay, so how does electricity work? Because if someone had asked me how electricity works, there's like a dozen MUB employees in the room, and some of them don't even know how electricity works. They all know, but they would not come to me. Why? I know this. Here's how it works. You flip the switch, and it comes on. You say, well, Chris, you know it goes through the circuits in your house, and it goes out to the power line, and it goes to a transformer or a substation and somewhere else. And go back to where it's made. I don't know. I know where, but I don't know how it works. But friends, I want you to know something. Just because I can't explain every step of electricity to you does not mean I'm going to sit around in the dark either. I'm going to turn the light on. Can I say to you, if you think you have to know everything about God to be able to give your life to him, if you need every question answered, like why did he allow this, or why did he do that, or how could this be? Listen, I want you to understand something. Start with what you know, that we have sinned, and he is perfect, and he gives us new life. Turn the switch on. Give your life to him. You don't have to walk in the dark anymore. So if you've never given your life to him, right now, would you take a second to stop and say, Jesus, I give you my life. The Bible uses the word repent, and what that means is this. If you're walking this way, to repent means you change your mind. You change your direction. You say, in my mind, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go this way. So to repent means we say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. I'm repenting. I'm turning to you. And we ask him to save us and provide us his grace. And he will do it. If you've never done it, do it right now. You don't need fancy words. Just you talk to God. Ask him to save you. Ask him to give you new life. He will do so, friends. But for those of us who do know him, this scripture teaches us that we have been made for more. Look at verse 10 again of the scripture there in 1 Corinthians. It says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Hear this, friends. If you have Jesus in your life, by the grace of God, you are who you are, and his grace was not in vain. Don't think for a moment that is one. You and I have been made for more. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about this topic every single week, that we have been called to freedom. We have been called to walk in his freedom. And it's more than just someday I'll fly away and go to heaven kind of freedom. That's not real freedom. That's bondage on earth waiting to die and go to heaven. It's not just that. We will someday go to heaven, but it's about living the freedom of Christ on this earth. It's walking new and complete and whole and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what he wants to do in your life and mine. That's what it means that we were made for more. Now imagine just one person saved by the grace of God, walking in the power of the resurrection. Imagine the impact that one person can have on the world. Think about the apostles. The post-resurrection apostles were bold. The post-resurrection apostles walked in supernatural power. The post-resurrection apostles lived a life of hope, and they lived it from a place of victory. So here's my question. Why in the world would you expect anything less of your life, and why would I expect anything less of my life? In the words of the Apostle Paul, hear this again. By God's grace, you are who you are, and his grace toward you is not in vain. So can I encourage you, don't settle for a Saturday existence in a Sunday victory world. Let me tell you, sometimes I do myself. As pastors, you can ask any pastor you know. Ask this one, ask anyone you know. The week leading up to Resurrection Sunday, it's not a nervous week, as if you know there'll be more people there, although we're excited for that. But there is a lot of spiritual warfare that takes place. The enemy loves to attack because if he can mess with your mind and your heart and your emotions, maybe even physically in different ways, he knows it'll just get you off kilter for what's coming, and you want to be at your best for the Lord's sake when the time comes on that Sunday to honor him. And sure enough, I would say my Saturday that day of defeat, that day of rejection, that day of not knowing what was to come between the death and the resurrection. My Saturday happened Thursday night into Friday. Thursday night, even our children noticed and like, are you okay? And I was not okay. It was mental and emotional, and it was a struggle. And then Friday all day, a heavy weight of that. I was there alone, but a heavy weight of that at home while everyone was at school and off at work and just could not hardly function for a while. Now, why do I tell you that? It's not to confess that I deal with mental and emotional struggles the same as everyone else. It's to let you know that we all, from time to time, have those Saturday experiences. We all, from time to time, have moments of struggle and moments of difficulty, and that came. And so it was a blessing yesterday morning to wake up with the understanding and reminder that by the grace of God, I am who I am. And by the grace of God, His grace is not in vain in me. And so we learn to walk out of that and dig out of it and work through it, and the Lord helps through that. And so you start to look forward to the Sunday victory that comes after the Saturday difficulty. So if you've been walking in one of those and you've had one yourself, maybe it's been a season, maybe it's been a week, maybe it's been a day, maybe it's been years, you've been struggling, whatever the case may be. Friends, I want you to know it's by God's grace that you are who you are, a believer in Him. And His grace was not in vain. And so don't live in the Saturday existence when you've experienced a Sunday victory. We can live new and fresh in that. We have been made for more. Now, believe it or not, that's it. That's the end of the message. Short, get you out early on Resurrection Sunday. Get you to that baked ham and all the good things. But here's what I would say to you. I do that on purpose. I wanted to just give you one simple point, and that is this. You've been made for more. I've been made for more. How? By the righteousness and the grace of Jesus Christ and His work in our life. Through the power of the resurrection, we've been called to freedom, the scripture tells us. We'll talk about that next week. We've been called to live it out, and it's not in vain. So if you have been making a bed of shame for something in your past, whether it was years ago or last night, if you've been making a bed of shame, here's what I encourage you to do. Repent where you need to, but then grab a hold of God's fountain of grace. Grab a hold of His new mercy and new life. Walk in that freedom. Maybe you've got a family member or friend that doesn't know the Lord, and you have been so desperately praying for them for months, for years, over and over. It still hasn't happened, and you're still waiting. Can I encourage you? Carry on. Because Christ is still calling people to freedom. Until He returns, and there will be no more, He's still calling people to freedom. So let's pray for that brother, that sister, that son, that daughter, that grandchild, that spouse, that neighbor, that coworker, whoever it is you're praying for. Let's keep praying for them that they'll be called to freedom and called to Him and that they'll respond. Maybe for you, though, you've got something else going on in your life. Maybe like me, you had a struggle of a day or it's lasted a lot longer for you. And you just want to come and lay that at the Lord's feet and say, God, I want to walk in the power of Your resurrection. Ask Him to do that in your life. Listen, you weren't made to be tending a grave. You were called by name, born and raised back to life again. We were made for more. So our invitation today is a little different. We're going to sing two songs. They're together. It's short. Two songs. One you just learned, and then one that you'll have known your whole life. And together, I'm praying that the invitation is your testimony time. Now, you're not sharing your testimony with me. You're sharing it with the Lord. So let these songs be your testimony to Him of what you're doing and what you're asking Him to do in your life now. Let it be your renewed commitment to walk free in Him. If you gave your life to Him, come and let me know so I can pray for you. I won't point you out or make you do anything strange. I just want to pray for you. If you have another prayer need or you have another decision to make, if you come, somebody will pray with you. If you have another decision to make with me, come. We'll be glad to help you any way we can. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are resurrection people, and we celebrate the resurrection right now. We celebrate the fact that we have been made for more. We celebrate the same words of Paul and the reminder that your grace is not in vain in our lives. Father, we celebrate the fact that you brought Jesus back to life. We celebrate the fact that that means we can walk in resurrection power now. So God, just like when Joseph went and asked for the body of Jesus, he had no idea what was coming, but we are blessed to be on the post-resurrection side of that. We know what happened with Jesus, and we know what that means for our lives. So may we claim it and grab it and hold on to it and wear it today. Lord, may we wear a comfy blanket of grace in the midst of a cold and cruel world. May we come to understand the power behind the resurrection and that we too can walk out of that grave just the same. Father, if there's anyone here that needs to just stop and ask you to move in their life, that they would do so. Others that need prayer, others that might have a decision to make. God, have your way among your resurrection people. In Jesus' name. So would you stand with me?
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.